And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, what a week. 5 out of 7 days, successively, more Americans died. They set world records from COVID-19. State by state, where the governors aped the Trump, or part of the trumpet chorus, and they opened up their states, like Florida, Arizona, and Texas. Florida, which has more coronavirus ill people day by day than all of Western Europe combined. And you bring to mind what Trump said to the African-American population, vote for me, what have you got to lose? And it turns out almost nothing except your life, your job, your wealth, and your way of life. Because it is through his refusal to adopt a national policy to combat a national threat that we have seen the entire American way of life shut down, the entire economy shut down, 120,000 deaths and counting, expecting 100,000 new cases every day in another 2 weeks, all completely attributable to Trump's refusal to tackle this issue. That's what you got to lose. It's a very different July 4th.
Yes. Well, you know, Jefferson wrote about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as you said, people have lost their lives. Actually, it's up to about 130,000 now. Liberty, our freedom to get around, has been shut down. Getting on airplanes, traveling to certain states where you have to quarantine in order to get in and out. Matter of fact, Americans can't go to Europe. They can't go to Canada.
And that's because the Canadians won't let them in and the Europeans won't let them in.
Right, and certain parts of Mexico won't let them in now. You know, Trump was going to build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Turns out that the world is building a wall to keep the Americans out.
Right.
And then, of course, when you talk about the pursuit of happiness, the polling shows that Americans are highly unhappy, that the polls show an enormous number of people think that we are going in the wrong direction. So,
Who in his right mind could believe that this is the right direction? The education system destroyed. It's destroyed. How in the world can you imagine that kids are going to be allowed into schools, in classrooms? How's that going to work? The only way it can work is if you say, well, it doesn't matter what the public health specialists say. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. Let them get sick. Let them bring it home. In that case, you could have school. Otherwise, how do you have school? And if you don't have school, how do you have people with kids going to work if they can't afford babysitters? And who's going to be the babysitter?
Yeah, it's a cascade effect.
Yeah.
On this. And this is all because we have a president who is in denial, who doesn't believe in science, who doesn't believe in telling the people the truth, because he feels that it reflects badly on him to learn that things don't always go as smoothly as he gaslights people to believe that they are going.
OSHA was created. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, was created because you could not depend on employers to carry out legal mandates for the safety of their workers. Now, in the days when there were very large functioning unions, the unions took care of that. But when the unions were wiped out in most of, or almost all of private industry, there was no body that was able to protect the safety of workers on the job, and workers were dying. So the Democrats managed to push through the Congress and get assigned into law the creation of an agency called the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, whose only job is to guarantee that workers don't get killed on the job. The current head of that agency is Antonin Scalia's son, who does not believe that OSHA should exist. There have been at least 18,000 complaints sent to OSHA in the last year about violations of safety and health regulation, safety and health practices by employers because of the coronavirus situation, where workers are pushed together, no safety considerations, the conditions of work are completely contrary to what the CDC says you should do. So the workers complain. Scalia decided that there should be no enforcement. Every single one of these 18,000 complaints has been dismissed without any action, and the agency has issued no guidance, which would have a legal force, to employers saying, here's what you got to do. There is no guidance, and letters are sent to the employers saying, do your best. Thousands of workers have been killed as a result of this in the meatpacking industry and in the healthcare industry.
And the warehouse industry.
And there'll be more industries where this is happening, because voluntary compliance by employers stands in the way of profit making, and they don't comply with the law. It's just that simple, when there is a law.
Yeah, voluntary compliance is almost an oxymoron there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. If you have to comply, it's not voluntary. And if you have to comply, somebody's got to enforce it. If there's no enforcement, there's no rule. It just doesn't exist. Well, that's what you got to lose. You got to lose your life. You got to go to work. I was going to say it's preposterous, but it's not preposterous. It's criminal. It's criminal.
Yeah. It rises to that level. I agree with you on that. But what's amazing is how many people still buy into that philosophy. Not just in terms of employers who are profit-driven, but the supporters, this core of supporters of Trump, and the conspiracy theorists, and the people who say that who believed first it was a hoax, or that this is still going to go away, that we really shouldn't get involved, that this is still our choice and our liberty to do things. And it's that battle really between individuals and society that's been going on for, I guess, for forever. But we had that battle back 4 years ago when with Hillary Clinton says it takes a village, and Donald Trump says I alone can do these things. We had the Elizabeth Warren concept that no, you, Mr. Employer, you didn't do this alone. You needed the government, and you needed people to set this up for you so you could prosper and you could do what you want to do. You didn't build the roads. You didn't pass the laws to protect you.
You didn't do the production. You hired people to do the production.
Right.
Right.
And so we have that ongoing thing. I mean, you got the far out crazies. We had some elections this week. We had another QAnon supporter elected or nominated by the Republican Party. That makes three who just believe in the most absurd conspiracy theories. These are the folks that said that Hillary Clinton was running a child porn ring or child
not a porn ring. It was a child abuse ring centered in a basement of a pizza parlor.
Right.
And this guy invaded the pizza parlor to free the kids.
Right. And so now they believe that there's this vast conspiracy against Donald Trump that's being headed by the deep state. And, the only thing I give these folks credit for is imagination, wild imagination. The number of people that still believe it is beyond comprehension to us or to thinking people.
Well, there are those people who...
The only thing you can do is defeat them, give them a massive defeat at the polls.
That's exactly right. The only thing you can do is defeat them. You cannot argue with them because they're not reasonable people. You can only argue with people who are guided by experience and reason. If people are not guided by experience and reason, but only by belief, argument doesn't work. Only suppression works.
Yeah, but we're seeing, now the polling is showing that a lot of these people are going to be defeated. I mean, I wish, given the polling, I wish the election was held this week coming up. A lot can change between now and November. But we're seeing it all.
Do you think a lot can change
if
we keep getting thousands and thousands of new cases of coronavirus? It's hard to believe people could really change. I think just the opposite. I think that if we keep getting, even if they're not record-setting days, but thousands of people getting sick throughout the country, and now it's not New York, now it's Texas, it's Arizona. Texas, right? Because you've had politicians more backward than guys like the lieutenant governor in Texas who said he'd be willing to give up his life for the sake of the economy, and therefore he doesn't want to have vaccines or masks or anything else. And in Texas, where they opened everything up, the governor Abbott gets and says, no, no, you have to wear masks, it's the new law, and we have to close down the bars. If in Texas that could happen, where could it not happen?
Yeah. Well, this was the so-called pro-life party.
Yeah. Pro-life, you know, exactly. Pro-life.
And, you know, as you said, and you look at the polling in Texas, one poll this week had Biden up by two. We're seeing this across the board. All these states, Arizona's in heavy play for the Democrats. Georgia's in play. Iowa's in play. Texas is in play. And Trump just keeps doubling down. I mean, and, you know, it's the politics of division. The reason I say that I wish the election were being held is that Biden has done very well just being hunkered down and making sporadic appearances, because all the focus is on Trump. And every time, every day that it's on Trump and more on Trump, he keeps losing. He wants to make this about Biden. You know, he's running commercials that Biden is senile and that Biden is pro-China and all of this stuff. And it's not making a dent because, as you say, we have this coronavirus that people who are dying. I mean, we've got 130,000 families who know that it isn't a hoax. And they know that the president didn't protect us in this, and that he withheld information, and that he continues. I mean, this week again, he came out and said that this virus is just going to go away sometime, blaming the tests, the magical thinking type of things. So, you know.
Well, this week he made one racist speech after another also.
Right.
And not only speeches, tweets, however he gets his points of view across, he's descended into pure racism and nothing else, really.
Yeah, the George Wallace campaign of 1968.
Exactly.
And by doing so, he's keeping the only thing that he is up on in Biden in the polling, when they do all sorts of things, is he's barely up on the economy. And he can't even talk about that very long without descending, as you said, into racism. You know, he was extolling this week that the unemployment rate had gone down to somewhere in the 11s.
11% is higher than ever before since the Great Depression.
Right.
And that's his great victory.
And, of course, it's probably close. You know, the numbers said 11.1, but the real numbers are probably closer to 12. And the figures were used 2 weeks ago before Governor Abbott in Texas started shutting things down again. So, you know, even those numbers aren't going to be there in the next month as it looks right now. But he's off message. Well, he's just into this thing. What is it he wants to do? He wants to have some sort of a theme park for old monuments now to...
Well, he ordered the Secret Service out to deploy to defend the racist monuments. These aren't even Confederate monuments. These are monuments to Jim Crow. None of these monuments were built around the time of the Civil War. Every one of these monuments was built in the 1890s and the beginning of the 20th century for the purpose of demonstrating that the segregationists rule and blacks have no citizenship rights. That was why they were built. That's the point of them. Naturally, they are of Confederate heroes because it was that treacherous movement where these traitors were the leaders that, you know, stood for the suppression of African Americans. So naturally, it's monuments about them. But these were built not to memorialize the Civil War, but to memorialize the suppression of African Americans.
Yeah. And of course, they went even further. I mean, he's talking about vetoing the defense appropriation bill if it has a provision to rename bases that are named after Confederate generals. The Republicans have talked about taking away aid from cities or states that take away the monuments. They've just become absolutely glued to this concept. You know, and he talks about history, wiping out history, erasing values. It's not wiping out history. What we've been going through is an addition to history. What we've been doing is educating people that the history isn't just what we learned from watching, the Birth of a Nation or Gone with the Wind, that the history was far, far different, that it involved a lot more people and a lot more harm to people. It wasn't just the goody-goody stuff of old white men.
As a matter of fact, Gone with the Wind and The Birth of a Nation were anti-history. That's not what happened, what those shows present, what those films presented. That's how they brainwashed Americans in the 20th century. But that was what it was. That was teaching Americans a lie about history. It's just that simple.
And now we're figuring, I mean, you know, when you went to school, or when I went to school, what did you learn about the contribution of blacks? I mean, I remember there was probably a paragraph or two in a history book that talked about Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver.
Yes, George Washington Carver and Peanuts.
And Peanuts, yeah. Right. There wasn't much else. I don't even remember learning anything about Frederick Douglass.
He was not in the curriculum.
I had to take a course this fall, fortunately, just before the virus hit, at the Schemmel Forum. I'll give them a plug, at the University of Scranton. And it was on Frederick Douglass. It was very, very revealing about him and his relationship, and, of course, the relationship of Lincoln in that regard as well. But we never learned that. Most Americans never had that part of history. You talk about history.
No American learns anything about John Brown, except that he was a madman.
Yeah.
But it turns out, when you learn something about John Brown, he was the leader of the anti-racist wing of the abolitionist movement. Americans don't even know that most abolitionists were racist. They just didn't support slavery. But they also didn't think that black people were what we would now say genetically equal to white people. They were culturally inferior. Brown was the only leader within the abolitionist movement who held that blacks and whites were completely equal and should be equal socially and politically. No one talks about Brown.
And the other thing we don't talk about, we talk about America's original sin being slavery, but the other original sin had to do with Native Americans and our treatment of Native Americans. And, of course, this week a couple things happened that brought that to the fore. First of all, Trump had that rally in the Black Hills with the Mount Rushmore. And I didn't realize, there was a protest by the Sioux blocking the road, and many of them got arrested this week. It was a peaceful protest. But there was
These were left wing people who were determined, left wing agitators and anarchists, yeah, who were determined to bring down the country.
Yeah. But there was a Supreme Court case 40 years ago that determined that the Black Hills were really still owned by the Sioux, not the American government, because the treaty that was signed there had the provisions had never been fulfilled by the American government. As a matter of fact, the American government had gone back on its word. The only thing was that the Supreme Court in that decision apparently awarded the Sioux a large sum of money at that time of $100 million. But the Sioux say, we don't want the money, we want the land. And if we get the land, we're going to take down that monument.
And the monument, by the way, was commissioned by a group of racists.
Yeah. Guy Borglum that wrote it also was doing the Stone Mountain in Georgia.
That's right. That's right.
There was a monument that's still under construction there to Crazy Horse, I believe.
But that's financed by the Sioux.
That's financed by the Sioux. And it hasn't been finished. Be more appropriate. And the other thing that we talk about with the Native Americans that came forward this week is the naming of the Washington National Football League franchise, which is currently called the Redskins and had been owned for years and started by a guy named George Preston Marshall, was it George Preston? It was Preston Marshall.
Preston Marshall.
Who was an out-and-out racist, who was the last owner to integrate his team in the National Football League. Not until 1959 did he have a black man on his team. And they took down the monument to him this week outside of the stadium. And it turns out that they had talked about years ago taking, changing the name. And there was a rally. I saw a picture. It's probably on Google Images or something, of the Klan and the neo-Nazis marching to keep the name Redskins there.
And the new owner said that the name would never change. He said, over right. my dead body. That was what he said.
Until 2 days ago.
Until two days ago,
he said, well, we're now going to review that and take a look at that. And people are suggesting all sorts of names there. I happen to like the one called the Americans. I think it would be a play on the fact that people with red and skin were really the real Americans, the natural Americans, and also it set off against the Washington Nationals.
But they ought to do what happens. This guy to sell the team.
Yeah, and then the other thing, yeah. And, of course, he's getting forced not just by the league, but he's getting forced by his sponsors, FedEx that has a name on the field, and some others. Coca-Cola, I believe, said, we don't want to be associated with that name anymore. So, and we're seeing that all over the place with the commercial sponsorship. Facebook is being forced on things like that. Before I leave the issue with Native Americans, it came out very late in the week that the Cleveland Indians are rethinking their name. They'd gotten rid of their mascot, Chief Wahoo, a couple of years ago. These are interesting times, and a lot of people can't accommodate to this. They grow up with this, and they think it's almost sacrilege that the protesters are going too far. They're taking away the things that they were most comfortable with, and not really realizing what really is behind it and what it's institutionalized.
Well, it's like a toothache that you've had for a long time. Before it gets cured, it bothers you, but you're used to it. And then when it gets cured, you kind of miss the toothache because it was something that you learned to live with.
Right.
But it was still a toothache, and it would have killed you in time.
Right. Yeah. It's an abscess that's growing on the body.
It's exactly
right. On the body politic. So we had...
Meanwhile, despite the fact that Trump has fallen into racism and nothing but racism as the way to get reelected, his administration continues to run wild in destroying the living standards and the of American working people and the traditional state of American relationships. The Supreme Court issued some very bad rulings this week, which his administration, supported. On the Consumer Finance Protection Board and on the establishment of religious schools and their right to claim public money, something that no one in this country ever thought, except for a small minority, was legal, constitutional, or should be done. Now it's legal.
Well, it's interesting. Some of the history of that is that they didn't want the it's gone back and forth, Jake, really interestingly. They didn't want the Catholics to get their hands on the money, and as a result, one of the maybe the beneficial results of that was that you had this entire system of Catholic education and Catholic colleges that grew up educating people in that regard. They were frowned upon as immigrants when they first came out. They also, if you remember the beginning of Democracy in Chains. In Virginia, when they were told to integrate, they all went to private education, and some of them were church-sponsored education.
Exactly.
So it kind of backfired on the racists in that regard, because they were all Protestant schools. They weren't Catholic schools. The Catholic schools were integrated.
Right.
The Catholics, the only thing you needed to be in a Catholic school is to be Catholic. It didn't matter the color of your skin. So we had that. And, of course, many of the Orthodox Jewish schools now want aid to education because they can't support themselves for a variety of reasons, some of which are the men don't work, not enough men work. They all just spend their time studying, so they don't earn a living to contribute.
And you have that very interesting situation in New York State where a group of Hasidic Jews control a school board in a county north of New York City, and they have, over the last decade, systematically defunded the public school to pay for the yeshivas. Although the public school has like, I don't know, three times more students than the yeshivas. Of course, the Jewish parents don't send their kids to public school, but they are in charge of financing the public schools, so they don't finance them. And there have been legal battles about that, as I say, for at least 15 years.
Yeah, and there's still some ongoing things there. With regard to that. So we have that, and that's the problem with mixing church and state. I mean, it's one of the problems in the Islamic world, mixing church and state. And it's, you know, some of our founders.
These fundamentalists don't give a damn about Sharia law. They just want their own Sharia law. They actually like Sharia law to, as long as it's their Sharia law.
As long as their Sharia law. And the founders had debates on this. Jefferson was a deist. Madison was vehemently against mixing church and state. He didn't even want to finance a chaplain for the Congress.
Didn't Jefferson refuse to take the oath on the Bible?
He may have. He may have refused. Of course, he created his own Bible.
He did.
Taking out all the miracles.
Right.
And then, you know, Patrick Henry was on the other side of this guy. I had to research this for a speech I gave a year or so ago. He thought that there should be religious things, but the founders understood. They saw the religious wars in Europe and how many people were killed, and they had a history of that. And, of course, the discrimination came over to the United States. I mean, that's why we had Rhode Island was founded, because Roger Williams couldn't stand the Puritans in Massachusetts. And Pennsylvania was probably the most liberal state on religion. The Quakers had been persecuted for years and years. Maryland was founded originally as being a state of refuge for Catholics, but the Protestants took over and then started persecuting the Catholics again, you know, and they barred people from voting because of religion and things like that.
That's why we have the separation of church and state, because we did not want to have that kind of civil warfare. You want to believe what you want to believe, go believe it. But it's not a public matter. It's your private matter. That was the whole point.
And more and more with people like Bill Barr and Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, the Federalist Society, these are religious zealots. Scalia was another one on that, whose views are really out of the mainstream unit of their own religion. But they're very... dare I say, dogmatic and dogged in the way that they pursue their ideas, imposing on everyone else.
That's right. Well, aside from resorting to racism as the only thing he's campaigning on, structurally, the Republicans nationally are moving to impose more and more restrictions on voting from home, on mail-in voting, right?
Yeah.
And the courts, the Trump judges in the courts are going along with them and giving them the authority to do that. So that in Texas, where the Democrats wanted everybody to be able to vote by mail, the legislature said, no, only those over 65. And the Democrats took it to court. The court ruled, no, only those over 65.
Right. In Alabama, they ruled that the emergency of the virus wouldn't overturn, not allow, was not sufficient to allow people to vote in, by mail. Interestingly, in Georgia, you know, where we had that debacle a couple weeks ago, I saw where the Atlanta Hawks now are going to open up their arena as a voting place. So they're going to have enough people and enough places for people in Atlanta to vote. You need more and more of that. We have to vote. We see when people get to vote, like in Oklahoma this week, they voted to expand Medicaid.
That's why you shouldn't allow people to vote. Well, anyway, that's it for this week. It's a different July 4th. And we'll see what comes up next week.
Okay. See you next week.
See you next week. You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City. 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.